And I want you to know that I am going to preach to teenagers, and specifically the seniors. But I want you to know that as it may sound like I'm speaking to them, may we just all know that this message is absolutely applicable to all of us. And at the very end of the message, you're going to realize that the message is not just for the seniors, but it's for each and every one of us here. So I know as we sit here, we're excited about the seniors. And I think back, I was talking to seniors a little while ago, that my wife and I, we're not from Texas. This is not our original home, I guess you'd say. And I'm 24 hours away from my family. As a matter of fact, my mom's watching. That's kind of funny. She texted me a few minutes ago. My mom's watching from Maryland, 24 hours away. And I was telling the kids, I said, it's the seniors. I said, you don't realize, but we're giving our lives to this church and to you as seniors. And not just the seniors, to our youth department. And the most exciting thing for us is not that they're graduating. The most exciting thing for us is the prospect of what God could do with their lives. But I must emphasize the word could. Because, see, statistics are staggering. Matter of fact, if you just read statistics, you'd get discouraged and you would never be a youth director. Let me give you some statistics. The statistics are as follows, and it depends who you ask. But one denomination said 70 to 75% of Christian youth leave the church after high school. 3 out of 4. Another number, this is the Southern Baptist Convention. Their number was 88%. Another number, Lifeway Research, 70%. The smallest number I could find was in a book that's called You Lost Me, Why Young Christians Are Leaving Church and Rethinking Faith. The smallest number is a 43% black hole, they call it. I don't know about you, but thinking about us as parents investing our lives in our kids, and as a church and as a youth director investing my life in a youth department, just to think that somewhere between 43 and 88% of them will not follow the Lord, that doesn't sit well with me. But the interesting thing is that there are some things we can do, but ultimately it is a choice. And I want every one of the seniors, I know they're sitting all over the place, I want every one of you all to know that I am so thankful to have been able to be called your youth director. My wife and I love that privilege. But I want you to know that greater than that will be someday when I get to be the person in the church who's there at your wedding, and who someday when you're faithful members of this church, another church, and you're faithfully serving God, that is when I will be able to say that your life has become a success. Because, see, graduating high school is a huge hurdle in life. But really, it's just the beginning. I'm 30 years old, and I used to think, wow, I'll be 30 years old someday, and that sounds like it's old, and maybe it is the teenager, young people. But I'm beginning to learn life goes fast. And the decisions we make today will affect tomorrow. And so with that thought in mind, I invite you to turn to Luke chapter number 15. And as I said, I am preaching to the seniors tonight, but I think every one of us as we listen will recognize that God could be speaking to our hearts as well. And at the very end, I'll let you know up front, I'm preaching for a decision. And at the end of the message, you'll have to choose if you want to make one or not. Luke chapter 15 is a very familiar passage. We call it the parable of the prodigal son. But I want you to know the word prodigal isn't used in the story. And the story really isn't about a prodigal son. It's about a father. But I was trying to think what I want to say to these teenagers if I had the opportunity. And Pastor gave me the opportunity to speak to them. I'm very excited about that. And I want to say to them that I do not want you to have wasted years of life. See, if I had some of the adults in this room give testimonies, there are many, many people in here, too many of us, who would say, you know what, there were wasted years. And as a matter of fact, seniors, would you look around? Let me say it again, I just want you to nod your head if there's been a wasted year or a wasted day that you wish you had to take back. Amen. See, every person in this room, it may just be a day or a week or a month. Some of us, it's been years. But you know the great thing about being a senior in high school or being a teenager or being a child here tonight is that you can set some things in motion in your life that there may still be wasted days, but you can keep from having wasted months and wasted years. And tonight, I want you to know, I'm preaching this message, and it's called How to Avoid the Wasted Years of Life. Luke chapter 15 and verse number 11, the Bible says, and he said, this is Jesus, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. Now, let me just stop there and say, if I would have said to my father right now, call my dad and say, Dad, I want my inheritance. My dad would be on an airplane here very quickly, and he would not be bringing his inheritance with him. But I would remember for the rest of my life that that was not a good thing to say, give me to your father. See, in this day and age, it was a custom, of course, that the inheritance comes when you die. But see, in this Eastern culture, there were some who, when they were living, would divide that inheritance. And this young man, I don't know why he thought it was a good idea to ask his father, but he wanted his inheritance. And his dad gave him the inheritance. But see what it says, he divided his inheritance unto them. He divided unto them his living. I want you to know a couple things tonight, and they all start with P, but some things that aren't perfect. Some things that aren't perfect, and the last P may shock you. Number one, your perspective is not perfect. Seniors, you have a perspective on life right now, and your perspective probably has something to do like this. Life's been good, I'm looking forward to going to college, and there's something in your mind that's thinking, what's out there? And the most godly Christian teenager, the most godly person in this room, we all have what's called a flesh, a sin nature. And all of us, if we're not careful, our perspective can get off. We can start thinking about what we aren't allowed to do and what we can't have. And this young man, for some reason, his perspective was off. And he started thinking about, if he had his dad's inheritance, what could he do? But notice in verse number 13, verse 12, he said, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. Your perspective has got to be off to say to your dad, Dad, give me. But after his perspective was off, I want you to notice, because his perspective was off in verse number 13, look what happened. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. See what happens in life when our perspective gets off? It affects our plans. See, when we start thinking about the world and what we aren't allowed to do, and we start thinking with not our spiritual nature, not what God wants to do, but what we want, not only does our perspective get off, but our perspective determines our plans. And this young man, all of a sudden, because he had what he wanted, I want you to know, he was already determining to go off. In verse number 12, he asked his dad for his inheritance, and you might just think he just wanted his inheritance, but he had a plan. Because when our perspective gets off, it affects our plan. This man's young plan is, I want to go off into a far country. I have a very simple question for you. Why would you want to leave home and go to a far country? I cannot think of many good reasons. I can think of a lot of bad reasons. Because, see, when you're in a far country, seniors, when you go off to college and you're not at home, freedom comes. And freedom can be a wonderful thing. And by the way, for the rest of your life, those of you who are teenagers, you're not going to live in your mom and dad's roof for the rest of your life. I'm very thankful I do not live in my mom and dad's basement. I'm very thankful about that. But you know what? As you gain freedom, freedom, if you're not careful, can create bondage. Because when there are no walls, we can create bondage where we once had liberty. And when you're a senior, you're going off to school, mom and dad are not going to be there every day to ask you where you are, where you've been, where'd you go, who were you with, what did you do on your cell phone today, how was school? See, all those questions that right now in your mind you're laughing, seniors, and thinking, that would be so nice, not having my mom and dad, and you might think the word nag or bug you. And there is some good things about having freedom. But I want you to know that if you're going to go off into a far country, this young man had a lot of thoughts in his mind, but it wasn't good godly things. You say, how do you know? Look at the rest of the verse. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. When I hear the word waste, I don't know why, but for me, in my mind, I just picture someone taking a $1,000 bill and flushing it on the toilet. I don't know why, but that's what I picture. And so for you, whatever waste would be, but I'm just imagining going and taking an inheritance and just saying, he should have done this. It would have been better for him if he walked to the toilet and took all his dad's money and flushed and been done with it. Of course, he didn't have a toilet back then. We understand that. But this young man basically said, I'm going to go off and I'm going to waste my life. See, his perspective got off and his plans got off. But not only did his plans get off, his passions are not perfect. See, our perspective on life is not perfect. My plan, you may think you have it all figured out. You may be an adult here tonight and you think you have life all figured out. But have you learned yet that when we think we have it all figured out, it seems like God just has a way? I don't want to be irreverent, but taking our knees out from underneath of us and making us realize that we can't even take the next step without Him. Realizing that we don't have it all figured out. Realizing there's an illness or there's a sickness or there's a job loss. And God has His way of reminding us that my plans aren't perfect. My perspective is not perfect. But see, as I follow my perspective and my plans get messed up, verse 13, your passions are not perfect. See, we all are passionate about something. I was reading an interesting article preparing to speak, and it asked a bunch of CEOs of companies what they would say to their son or daughter if they were graduating college. And every one of the ones they interviewed said something about following your passion. And I want you to know, it's good in life to be passionate about something. And if there's a lot of good things about following your heart. We hear that a lot of times. But I just want to warn you, seniors. I want to warn you, couples who have been married for a few years and couples who have been married for a long time, that sometimes our passions are not sanctified. And sometimes if we just follow our passions, if you would say follow your heart, if I followed my heart, I want to remind you what God said in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things. And listen to this. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? Can I ask you an honest question? Do you think you should follow a heart that's deceitful, that God says, above all things, and it's just desperately wicked? See, there's nothing wrong with having passions. But I just want to remind you that our passions are not perfect. At this point in your life, it's funny talking to seniors. Throughout their senior year, they change ideas and thoughts. As a matter of fact, some of them have changed what they want to do with their life since I've talked to them last week. And some of them have changed colleges since yesterday. And you know what's funny? We laugh, but they're going to go off to college, and guess what's going to happen when they go off to college their freshman year and their sophomore year? And you know what the statistics are? They're amazing that, like they say, half the people that go to college for a specific major never get a job in that field. And you say, well, is that all bad? Is all horrible? No, but I'm saying this. We just have to be careful not to just follow our heart. Just follow our passions. See, I love working with young people. I love being a pastor. I love that. It's a passion of mine. But may I tell you that if I'm living my life just about my passions, then there are some days that I could probably just quit and go home and forget about it. Because, see, our passions can play tricks on us. See what his passion was? The Bible says in verse number 13, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. What was it? Jump down to verse number 30. His brother gets angry. He comes home. Here's what he says. But as soon as this thy son was come home, which hath devoured thy living with harlots. What did the boy do in the far country? Well, he did a lot of stuff. But we know he devoured his living. He spent his living with harlots and everything that goes along with that. See, his passions were not sanctified. When he got his own plans and he followed his perspective in life, it led him to passions, and those passions were anything but godly. See, that's dangerous, though. Because you may be an adult here. And your perspective on God and your perspective on church or your perspective on your family may be skewed just a little bit. And as your perspective gets off, it affects your plans. And you may start thinking about doing things differently. And you may start thinking about, is this marriage really worth it? Is the investment in my kids really worth it? Is this job really worth it? See, we can start, our mind plays tricks on us, and we change our plans, and we begin to follow our passions. And not is that always a bad thing, but there's a time where it is a bad thing, especially in this story. And see, as he followed his passion, look what happens in verse 14. And when he had, the next two words are interesting, spent all. See, I don't know how rich this guy was, but later in the story we hear him, he goes back home. His dad divided his inheritance, and his dad still had servants enough to have the fatted calf and a big property, so his dad must have had lots of money. And this young man left home, and he had pockets full of whatever would be gold or silver or money. And everything seemed so good. But I want you to know something, that when things seem so good, you have lots of friends when everything's going well, don't you? Amen. When you're a senior in high school and you're popular and you're cool, everyone wants to be your friend. When you have money and you have a nice car, yeah, everyone wants to be your friend. When you're at the job and people, by being your friend, it helps them, yeah, it's popular, it's fun. But there comes a time of day when you live your life for things that you will spend all. And the interesting thing about the word spend all, I often think about spend all as we didn't have very much left. No, I want you to get the story. This young man lived it up. And he had friends, and he wasted his substance with harlots, and he gambled, and he did everything that this world has to offer. And one day he turned, he looked around, and he had no friends. He had nowhere to turn. And see, the wonderful thing we all have, most of you all here, no matter how old you are, if your mom and dad are still alive, no matter how bad it gets, you know that there's someone you can turn to, or they're going to still do something to try to help you and try to be there for you. But see, he left his father. He left everything because he knew best. And it left him in a place where he spent all. In other words, he reached in his pocket just to do one more thing or just to have one more pleasure in life. and he had no opportunity to do anything. The Bible says he spent all. There arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. May I stop here to say this? If you live your life for yourself, it may not have happened yet. You may still be in that time where there's lots of money and lots of things and lots of friends, but there's coming a day where you will spend all. And I guarantee you there's coming a day where you will be in want. Where you'll be in a time where you wish that you had what you once had. See, the man who decides one day that his family is not worth it, and decides that his wife's not as pretty as she once was, and decides he's going to go off and find someone else, there's coming a day when he's going to spend all, and he's going to begin to think, I have made the worst decision of my life. The family who says, you know what, there's other things in life that are important, and I don't really need church right now, and we can do without it, you will come to the point, I don't know when it will be, but there will come a day where you'll spend all, and you'll turn, and you'll just say, I just wish I could go back. But you'll have nowhere to turn, seemingly thinking, until you read the rest of the passage and realize there's always somewhere to turn if that happens. See, I'm preaching because I don't want you to get there, seniors. Church, I'm preaching to you because I don't want you to live your life in a spent all. But if you do, I want you to know something, that there's always a father at home. Verse number 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. That sounds like fun. See, sin looks so good. Following our passions and doing what we want and what mom and dad have told me for all these years I can't do. And skipping church just this one week doesn't seem like such a big deal. And that girl, guys, who just thinks beautiful, just one date is not going to really affect you. Or just one drink or just one party. It seems like it's not such a big deal. But may I tell you that sin will always cost you more than you're willing to pay. It will always keep you longer than you plan to stay. And it will always take you further than you plan to go, every time. Because, see, sin is a great toy. But sin doesn't stay a toy. Sin's a master. And see, what this young man, he had fun living his life. And he had fun wasting his life. Now, those things that he thought were fun are now, he's a slave to them. The Bible teaches in Romans chapter 6, either we're a slave to God or a slave to our own flesh. He says in verse number 16, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave on him. Can you imagine being so hungry that you would eat husks in a pig pen? That's got to be pretty bad. But see, why does God give us this picture? Because, see, that's where sin leads. When we go to decide we're going to go off into a far country and live our life how we want to, and I want to be very pointed here. We have a great church. We have a great group of seniors. And I don't think these statistics would be us. But do you know what? One teenager who wastes their life is too many. Amen. Doesn't matter to me if we get 95% following God. You know what? I'll still want to go out to that one. Because that one is someone's mother and someone's father. And see, we can look at people, and I've heard it said this way. We should be the people at the very top of the hill saying, hey, bridge out ahead. Do not go this cliff. It's dangerous. And we're good about doing that. But you know what a Christian should do, what a church should do? I wish you'd be just as good as being at the paramedic at the bottom, the first person gets when they fall and say, you know what? We're going to help you get back the right relationship. And you have to do both. And so seniors, I hope none of you get here, but may I tell you in this room, as many people listen to my voice, someone's going to find themselves sometime in a pig pen, having spent all and wasted it. There's some adults here tonight who, although you're here in church, there's some teenagers who, although you're here in church tonight, you are somewhere on your way to a far country, or you're somewhere wasting your substance of riotous living, and no one may know about it, but you do. And I want you to know there's a day coming where you're going to realize something, and that is that you've made a very, very poor decision, and your decision has consequences. But see, what's interesting is we said the first P was his perspective is not always perfect. His plans were not always perfect. Our plans aren't perfect. Our passions aren't perfect. Parents, you'll forgive me. But you know what? Our parents aren't perfect. And that's kind of hard to swallow, isn't it, a little bit? Teenagers, if I asked you tonight, tell me a fault about your parents, some of you guys would be so quick to say, and you'd shout them out. It's really easy for us to look at our mom and dad and say, you know what, you're not perfect. And may I let you know, I'm the first person to admit, I'm not a perfect parent, I'm not a perfect father, I'm not a perfect husband, I'm not a perfect youth pastor, I'm not a perfect church employee, I'm not perfect in any way. But may I tell you something about your parents? There is no one, seniors, I want you to listen to me very carefully. There is no one in this world, outside your parents and grandparents, who love you more and who want God's best for your life more than them. And if you're ever foolish enough to think that someone that you're going to meet cares about you, and they're going to turn you away from their parents, your parents, and you think that's going to be the best decision for you, may I tell you that no one in this world cares about you more than your mom and dad. You say, how do you know? Well, because I have three kids. This afternoon, I was working on my message and finishing up some graphics and a video, and I had a little girl screaming her head off in the back room. And you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to go another room, but she needed attention. And so while typing out my message, I had my two-year-old daughter laying on me, and we were enjoying watching Road Rally Mickey Mouse version. It was a great time this afternoon. But you know the reason why? Because I love her. Hey, your parents could tell you stories. I guarantee you, some of you teenagers, you might think, man, Brother Jesse, he cares way more than my parents do. That number one, that's foolish. But number two, I wasn't there when you were sick. And if you need someone to take care of you, it's probably not going to be me. But I guarantee you this, your mom and dad are always going to be there for you. And you know, you could look at your parents all day long, but I want you to notice this guy realized. This young man's there. He realized his perspective is off. He realized his plans were off. He realized his passions were off. And you know what's interesting? He even started thinking that his parents weren't perfect. You know, how do we know that? Well, why did he go off into a far country? Well, things weren't perfect at home. But you know what's interesting? No matter how bad you think your parents may be, do you know who this young man knows he can go to? I like what he says. It's like the light bulb goes off from verse number 17. And he came to himself and he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. And will say unto him, Father, I have sinned. That's a hard pill to swallow, isn't it? See, it's easy to go to mom and dad and say, you know, mom and dad, I messed up. Mom and dad, you know what? I might have made a mistake. Mom and dad, you know, you might have been right about that. But see, when this young man, he gets to the point where he has nothing, he knows he can always turn to his parents. And there's some seniors here tonight that, you know, maybe your relationship with your mom and dad isn't right. May I tell you, the greatest thing you could do this week would be to get that relationship right before you go off to school. Hey, there's some teenagers here tonight whose relationship with their mom and dad aren't right. May I tell you, that's a really important thing to get right. There's some adults here tonight who are grown adults, their relationship with their mom and dad isn't right. And you may have held a grudge after mom and dad for, and you may be thinking about your mom and dad aren't perfect. And I just say to you, join the club. And you know what we should do? We should make sure that relationship is right. But he decided, I'm going to go to my dad. And here's what he says. I will rise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And then he says, make me as one of thy hired servants. So he goes in verse 20. He arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said, remember the son had this whole thing rehearsed? He said, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But you notice there's a period right there? See, he was going to say, Dad, if you'll just make me a servant, I just want to come back. I just need a job, Dad. I just knew that you'd take me back as a servant. But do you notice his father cut him off before he ever got a chance to ask? Look what his dad said. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead. Was he dead? He wasn't dead. But his dad said he was dead. That can mean a lot of different things, but I'll say this. His son spiritually was dead. His dad probably had just about given up hope. But you know what's interesting? His dad was still looking, so he hadn't given up total hope. See, no matter how far we've gone, I want you to know there's a father in this story who accepts him back. But I want you to know that there's a father who's much, much, much more important and who's much more forgiving than your earthly father is. And that's our heavenly father. And I want you to know this guy in the story, this prodigal son, had made some really bad decisions. And he had wasted his life. But I want you to know when he came back home, his dad didn't ask him what he had done. His dad didn't ask him to come and confess it before. You know what his dad did? His dad was extending mercy and said, this my son was dead, he's alive again, he's lost and he's found. May I tell you that one thing that is perfect? See, if you follow your perspective right now, you may end up away from your home, away from your family. If you have your plans all figured out, your plans may work for a little while, but your plans will eventually fail. If you have your passions, you know, I just want to do this and this is what I want to do and no one's going to tell me I can't, your passions are going to fail you someday. Your parents, if you're going to base your life on what mom and dad say, there's nothing wrong with doing that, but there's a time in life where you can't just ask mom and dad anymore. You have to begin to live your life. And it's starting to hit that time for the seniors. I wrote this down. Pleasing God and doing His will should be your heart's desire. See, Solomon had really good advice. Let's turn to a verse here if you don't mind. It's in the book of Ecclesiastes if you don't mind turning there. Solomon was a very, very wise man. A matter of fact, we would call him the wisest man who ever lived. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 2. I want you to hear what Solomon said. Verse number 8. I gathered me also silver and gold in the peculiar treasures of kings and of provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great. See, Solomon had everything. Solomon was somebody. I was great and increased more than all they that were in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained within me. Listen to verse 10. This is amazing. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from thee. You know what that means? Whatever Solomon wanted, he had. If Solomon saw the newest chariot, he had it. 300 wives and 700 concubines. If he saw a woman he wanted, he had her. He took her. I mean, Solomon had what we would say would be everything. And we'd look at his life and say, wouldn't there be satisfaction in all that? I want you to listen to what he says. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, listen to this phrase. All was vanity. You know what vanity means? Emptiness. All was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Why turn here? Because may I tell you what you're going to do with your life? Every person here, you may be a grandparent. You may be a child. But every one of us will live our lives either one of two ways. We will live our lives trying to find satisfaction. And whether that's making more money, or whether that's finding the right car, or finding the right house, or the right job. And we can be like Solomon, we can be gaining and gaining and gaining. If anyone should have it all together, Solomon should have. And you can live your entire life, seniors, trying to find happiness. But you know where that will lead you if you follow your passions and your perspective and your plans? It'll lead you to where the prodigal son ended up at. Realizing that really it wasn't about those things. You know what he was content when he was happy? When he got his relationship with his dad, right? See, pleasing God is the reason why you were created. And glorifying God is the reason why we're here. Someone as wise as said, God is most satisfied in us. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. In other words, when I'm passionately in love with Christ, when my desires are His desires, when my wants are His wants, when my passions are His plans, when my plans are God's plans, when I live my life that way, then I will find happiness and true satisfaction. But as long as I live my life trying to find, and seniors, we talked about this morning, the next then, what will make me happy? Then what? Graduate high school? Good. Then what? We'll go to college. Then what? Well, figure out what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. Then what? Meet a spouse. Then what? You notice how it's a rat race in life. And you know what the problem is? Many of us in this room have lived that rat race or are living that rat race. And we're always trying to find the next thing that will make us happy. When we got to remember this, that God put us on the earth, number one, to have a personal relationship with Him. You may be here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. May I tell you that the God of heaven sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to live a perfect and sinless life. He came and He was beaten and He was bruised and He was hung on a cross. Not for His own sins, but for your sins and for my sins. And they nailed Him there and He died and He resurrected, proving He was not just the man, but He's the God-man. And He desires to have a personal relationship with you. Here's a question for you. If that God desires to have a personal relationship with you, how many of us are so caught up in our lives that we've forgotten Romans 12, verses 1 and 2? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is, listen to this word, reasonable service. Is it reasonable that a God who died for you deserves your life? Is it reasonable that a Savior who shed His blood on the cross deserves your time and your life? I find it so interesting that we all find so many things to be busy about. And it's sad in life that so many of us are succeeding in things that's not God's will. You know the greatest danger in life is succeeding in something that's not God's will. The goal of my life is really simple. I want to find out what God wants in my life and do it. I'm going to ask a kind of interesting invitation tonight. You ready for this? This is why I said some of you all will be surprised. I am not the youth pastor in this church who says to the teenagers, many of you all are going to be called to Christian service, and if you're not a preacher, you're not a Christian school teacher, you're not right with God. I can't do that. I will never do that. Because here's the reason why. You know what God has for each one of the person in this room? God has a purpose and a plan for your life. We have some young men in our church who are going off to Bible college, and you may say you're proud of them. Absolutely. We have some young men who are going off to study business and to study computers. And we have young ladies going off to do business. We have young ladies doing nursing. And you know what? I am just as proud of them as I am of the guys going off to West Coast. But you know the reason why? Because I have a simple question for them. What does God want for your life? You may be 50 years old here tonight, and you may be going through the rat race of life and saying, I'm trying to follow my heart. I'm trying to find happiness. May I tell you that until you found a place in your life where you realize that all you really have to do is figure out what God wants? You say, does that mean I have to go to be a missionary? No. It would be really boring if we were all preachers in here tonight, because every one of you would be critiquing me, and I'd be very nervous. Some of you critique me already, so that would be horrible if we were all preachers. God has a purpose and plan for every person's life, and I have a simple question for you, and here's the invitation. Will you just surrender to God? You say, Brother Jesse, I don't want to go to the mission field. That's not what I'm asking. Seniors, will you just surrender to God? You say, Brother Jesse, I think I want to be a computer scientist, or I think I want to be a nurse. That's not what I asked. Just ask one simple question. Will you just surrender to God and say, God, my life is yours. And whatever you want me to do, I'll do. See, that is how you will not have wasted years in life. Because if we took a testimony tonight, a poll, every time that we've wasted our life is because we thought we knew better than God. We got outside of God's will. I don't know who you are tonight, but I believe there's adults in here tonight who have lived the rat race of life for too long, and you're just trying to figure things out. May I tell you that I don't know what God may be speaking to our heart about tonight, but I think every one of us should remember Romans chapter 12. It's our reasonable service to offer our lives to God. If you're a mechanic or a lawyer or a doctor or you work on airplanes, if that's what God wants you to do, then you are succeeding in life. But if that's not what God wants you to do, you will never find true happiness outside of God's will. What is God's will for your life? When you find it, it's really simple. Do it. Let's all stand and bow our heads, may we? We're going to sing a song that's very hard to sing. We don't ever want to lie when we sing. And every time I think about this song, I often pray before I sing it. I surrender all. But before you sing it, I want to encourage you where you're seated. I want you to ask the Lord if you have surrendered all. And if God speaks to your heart tonight about something, I encourage you to come. At the invitation open, the altar's open for you.